teacher, the one who, you know, he's like the kid in class who can always ask the question that everyone is thinking but afraid to ask. How many times should I forgive, Lord, if someone sins against me? Seven times? Now, seven seems like a lot. I can't, you know, if I think through times when I've had to give forgiveness or I've had to ask forgiveness, seven seems like a lot. I don't know that I've ever, on any particular one case, had to go about it seven times. But Jesus says, no, not seven times, but 77 times. What? Seriously? 77 times? And then Jesus goes into this story of the king who owed, whose slave owed him, what did it say, 100 denarii, or 100 talents. Now, this would total, like if we were to try to figure out in our minds what this would mean, this would mean like 160,000 years of a salary. That's a lot of money. There is no way in any kingdom that a king would allow a slave to actually owe him that much money. Okay? So this guy owes a whole bunch of money, more than we can fathom, and the king forgives him his debt. And then the guy goes out, and he runs into his buddy who owes him like 10 bucks. And he doesn't forgive him the 10 bucks. And he has him thrown into prison. If we put this into God terms, God has to forgive us pretty much close to 160,000 years worth of salary times for us in about every half hour of our day. And yet we struggle to forgive the person who said something behind our backs, or who fired us from a job, or who wronged us in one way or another, or borrowed something and didn't return it properly. We struggle with forgiving. Yet God forgives us over and over and over and over again without even giving it a second thought. Sin is the thing that separates us from God. And it also separates us from one another. And the only thing that we know that can fix that relationship after we've sinned with God is forgiveness. Thus, God giving us unconditional forgiveness. And so the same thing happens in our own community. The only thing that can fix a relationship that has been broken is forgiveness. So I want you to take a moment this morning to think about either a time when you've had to forgive, or maybe still are working on forgiving, or a time when you've been forgiven, or are hoping to be forgiven. And think about how that plays on your life. For me, I'll share with you a story. My biological mother was killed in a car accident when I was 7. She was killed by a drunk driver on her way, ironically, out to the bar for the night. And the driver that was driving the car that killed her has been in prison for several, many things, many times over. So this was not a one-time occurrence. But I was young at the time, didn't quite understand, struggled a little bit, trying to figure it out, but had a lot of anger, had a lot of resentment, had a lot of bitterness. And then, I think it was when I was in college, I was trying to convince myself that I should go meet this man, who was probably still in prison at the time, but I should go meet this man and just prove to him that he didn't ruin my life. That's what I wanted to do. Now, it seems very self-centered that in order for this man to be forgiven, I have to prove something. But that's how forgiveness works. A lot of times we say forgiveness takes time. That time is for our own personal healing. Now, I never did go meet the man. And I don't know what would happen someday if I ever did meet him. I'd probably still have some things to say to him. But I think in that process, by me realizing that I'm okay, I've forgiven him. Now, when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we say, Lord, forgive me my trespasses and sins, debts, whatever word you prefer, as I forgive those who sin against me. For a long time, I had as I try to attempt to forgive those who have done me wrong. But forgive me, Lord, as I try. But when Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer, he didn't say that. He didn't add the word try. Jesus said, when you pray to my Father, pray like this. Forgive me my sins, as I forgive those who sin against me. There's no trying involved. God just tells us to do it. Just do it. When we withhold forgiveness, we give power to the wicked. We give power to our enemies. We give power to those who have hurt us. And we cause ourselves more harm than good. When we deny someone forgiveness, when we don't let go of a grudge, we lose sleep, we get stressed out, we carry all kinds of anxiety that has been proven to cause health issues. We lose our peace of mind. It occupies everything in our lives. Our own hatred doesn't hurt our enemies. It hurts us. In the story we heard from Genesis, Joseph and his brothers had this broken relationship. And the first time Joseph saw his brothers, after he introduced himself to them again, he told them, I forgive you. I forgive you because this was God's. God's got greater things in store than what we can do. But those brothers didn't receive that forgiveness. They were still carrying that stress and the anxiety. Even after their father died, they were still worried, what is Joseph going to do to us now? And Joseph had to repeatedly say, I forgive you. I forgive you. You are my brothers. C.S. Lewis wrote, I forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in me. The inexcusable. God forgives the inexcusable in each one of us repeatedly, every single time. It's kind of fun to watch the little kids learn how to fix those relationships when they've been broken. And I've noticed with each of my three, it's been different. With the boys, they always have to have, like, the last word when they're in an argument. And so when one of them are told that you have to ask, you know, you have to say you're sorry, and the other one's supposed to say, I forgive you, that part is usually always hard to pull out. But whenever you say, I have to say sorry, they're like, sorry! You know, they have that attitude of it. And then the other one will say, sorry doesn't fix it. And it doesn't. It doesn't make the hurt go away. It doesn't fix the broken toy. It doesn't change what has happened. But it's a step. It's a step in fixing that relationship back. Nora, on the other hand, I think either always carries a very guilty conscience, or she really likes to make sure the relationship is right, because she's always coming up to me every few days. She'll snuggle up, you know, and get all brown nose-like, and say, Mama, I'm sorry for spilling my water on the carpet the other day, and it happened like 3 weeks ago. Or, Mom, I'm sorry that I dripped my milk on the floor. She comes up with these little things to apologize for so that she can feel that love. It's okay, honey. I forgive you. Right? We have that same relationship with God. We need to snuggle up to God. Ask for God's forgiveness. And then we also need to snuggle up with each other and ask for each other's forgiveness. We love because God first loved us, right? God's mission for us is to go out and love our neighbors as ourselves. And when we're not being forgiving, we're not able to carry out that mission. If we're holding grudges, we're not able to show God's love to those around us. But God loves us. And so we're supposed to go out and love others. And God also forgives us and calls us to be forgiven children so that we can go out and forgive others. Not only are we forgiven,